couple weeks ago. They did a test. They said there was something in my bowel. I had all the tests done, and I am scot-free. No cancer. And I just thank you all for your prayers and for this church, because this is where the Lord told me that I will serve 15 years ago or whatever it was when I first came here. And I remember Pat saying, you know, 10% is not for the Lord, 80% is for the Lord, or 90%, and 10 is for us. God is so good. He's done wonderful things. I could stand here all day and give testimony from my workplace, from wherever, and all my life, and the miracles that he did for my son and for all of my family. And I just thank you all so much. And thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Because I think I was chosen. Even in the breast cancer, they said, she must be in shock when we told her that she was in stage 4. So she's standing here like it's not a big deal. It says in the Bible, if you live to 70, you do good. And if you live to 80, I'm 74.
Hey,
how much more can I live? I was ready to go. And the doctors just could not believe it.
Huh.
You know, and he did tell me when all the tests were done and when I got my results the other day. And he said, you know, you're a miracle. Mm. I said, because God does the miracle.
give a lot of hands. That's good. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that testimony. Cameron, thank you for that also. We know what you guys have been going through, and it's good to know that God is moving according to his word in the Bible. My friends, let's give the praise and worship team a round of applause for the dedication and the commitment to this church. You know, our pastor is still on a week holiday again. He's coming out next Sunday. Our senior pastor is going to be out next Sunday. So please come and welcome them. We have a visitor today. He's not a stranger to us. Reverend Simon Clarence. He's already started communion. But sir, we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you again to New Hope. It's a great blessing to have you always. So welcome, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. I invite you to a very familiar portion of Scripture in Genesis chapter 13. We're going to read together verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 13. It's a story of, obviously, Abraham and his nephew Lot. And I want to pick out a statement in this particular portion of Scripture that is the title for my message today. The title of my message is, We Have Not Passed This Way Before. We have not passed this way before. I have a PowerPoint. If you want to put up that first little tile there, that would be great. Awesome. So let's read Genesis chapter 13. I'm reading from the version the Apostle Paul used back in his day, the King James Version. No, that's not true. So, here we go. And Abram... Notice his name is Abram at this time, not Abraham, but Abram, fatherless it means, went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot, his nephew, was with him into the south area they went. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been, at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar. Notice where he went. An altar. A sacred place. A place of meeting with God. He went to the altar, and which he had made there at the first. Notice he didn't make the altar second or third or fifth. He sought first the kingdom of God in his life. And then Abram called on the name of the Lord. Is Lord spelled in capital letters in your particular portion of Scripture? Yeah. That means Elohim, the God above all gods. Elohim, Lord God. And Lot also, his nephew, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them all, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. In other words, we brothers. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, and I pray thee from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, and I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. So Lord, today we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through the scripture concerning where do we settle, because it will determine our future. I pray that you would speak to us about places we have not gone before, that you have an opportunity you set before us to go to that place that we have not passed by before. And may your Holy Spirit give us an excited curiosity about what God has for those who jealously pursue him and go to places they've never gone before. I thank you for this in the strong, matchless, and mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Now, you gave over to me at 11:42, and church is normally done at 12 o'clock, but the Holy Spirit is here, so I'm not going to keep you long today. I have a ring up here, so if you can just maybe cut there we go, that's better. But the Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to speak to us. I'm going to talk to you about settling today. Curiosity is one of the elements that turns a mere man and woman into an icon. When we have a spirit of curiosity or a curious mind, we go places in our thinking and in our experience in life that we've never gone before. And it's an essential trait of every explorer. People who discover new things are fascinated with the discovery of the unknown. And something in them says there's more to life. There's something that is more that I've not experienced. Something in them says, I long for something in me that I've never experienced in my life. And that's how people have changed the world. They've changed it because of a curiosity in their spirit and in their heart. And the next up, Christopher Columbus was a well-known explorer. And in his discovery of the New World, it only happened because of a tremendous curiosity that he had. When everybody else said that the world was flat, Christopher Columbus believed that the world was round. And his theory was met with all kinds of cynicism. His theory was met with ill regard in his day, back in 1492. And his theory was that he could travel beyond the horizon, and he could go to places that no other human being has gone before. And so he found himself boarding a ship. When people laughed at him and people made fun of him, he boarded a ship and he said, from Spain I will sail to uncharted waters. So he needed some backing, and he approached Queen Isabella, the Queen of Spain. And she commissioned him and gave him all the finances that he needed to take the journey with his crew into the then unknown world. And they set out on this grand idea, and this was the idea. There had to be more than what they had experienced. You can write that down. Make that a maxim of your life. Write it on your mirror with your lipstick, ladies. Write it on your iPad and on your iPhone, gentlemen. There has to be more than what we have experienced. Just like Christopher Columbus. With that type of curiosity, you'll discover a depth in God. You'll discover the love of God like you've never discovered it when you say in your spirit, there has to be more than what I have experienced thus far. And a paradigm shift will occur in your mind. And here in the crew that was accompanying Christopher Columbus, they were willing to risk everything to get to a place they'd never gone before. See, that's the spirit of a follower of Christ. We are willing to risk everything to get to a place with God that we've never been before. Can I hear an amen in the house? Amen. And what was amazing was that when he discovered this new world, then suddenly it became a regular thing to go back and forth on the next slide to from the old land, the old country, to the new country. And many of you come from the area where Christopher Columbus first discovered the Americas, the West Indies, and all of those beautiful islands. And so there was this regularness of going back and forth from the old land to the new land. And he discovered the new world. When he discovered the new world, he discovered on the next slide spices and gold and silver and all kinds of wonderful treasures that the people locally had. Christopher Columbus literally raped the islands and the lands of their wealth. Now, the Europeans don't want to hear that, do they? But it's interesting that as Columbus went back and forth, he could not sit back long until he would set out for another journey trying to find out surely other places that had never been visited before. Maybe there was different spices. Maybe there was different wonderful natural resources. But in the history of Spain, the mystery of sailing began to dissipate. And the sovereigns of Spain were just interested in going back and forth and bringing back gold and silver and spices. That before the Americas and the shores of the Indies were discovered and the great riches were brought back to Spain, the Queen said, well, I'm not going to sponsor any more of these events and I am going to withdraw my backing from you, Christopher Columbus. In other words, they were more interested in settling than discovering. They were more interested in taking what they know than going on an adventure to discovering places they didn't know. They just wanted to be regular Spaniards. They just wanted to be average. They just wanted to be normal Spaniards living in Spain. And I'm afraid that it's possible in our spiritual walk as brothers and sisters for us in our walk with God to settle for the regular. To settle for the regular. And at first in our walk with God, we don't even know that the spiritual world exists. But if you're not careful, that new world can become a regular journey of coming to church and experiencing the touch of God. Some gold, some silver, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues, some healing, and we settle for the regular. But there is more in the well of God. There's deeper waters and cooler waters for you to drink from, artesian wells that is yet to be explored by you as a human being and I. And you know, when we think of our regularness settles out to coming to church, singing some beautiful choruses, as Alroy led us in the team so beautifully. We read the scriptures, we take communion, we come to Bible study, We enjoy the walkathon, and it seems like Christianity settles for a regular club rather than a movement of God's anointed ones. We settle for the mundane things on the journey of life. And you know, it's interesting that we can come back and forth to the house of God. We can experience receiving some gold and some silver and some treasure of the house through the word of God or through worship in the house of God. We can go back and forth from our home to the house of God and we remain the same. Without realizing that God never intended for us to stop growing from the moment we accepted him as Lord and Savior. We have to be keeping on growing from, the Bible says, from glory to glory, to glory to glory. Don't settle for just, now I lay my head to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's the only prayer that some Christians pray. But where's the intercessors that can pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your drug-addicted son and daughter? Where's the power and the levels of intimacy with God that, like Moses and Abraham, you can experience the presence of God, that even a glow is on your face when you come out of your prayer closet? That the people of the day perceived that the disciples had been with Jesus because his spirit rubbed off on them. Because they had influence over their life. And he doesn't want us to settle for colonization over exploration. Spiritually speaking, church, hear what the Spirit is saying. Something in us needs to yearn for more. Can somebody say amen? Something in us needs to hunger for more. Something in us needs to be stirred up in us and say, God, there's got to be more than just going and coming and going and coming to this place we call church. You know, occasionally we need to have those moments in our lives where we get desperate for God. Get desperate to a place where you've never been before, that you've never experienced in God's love. I was about 14 years old and I began to seek the face of God for my life and the direction of my life. And I began praying about 11:30 and I woke up at about 4:30 finding myself on the ground praying in the Spirit. And in that time, the Lord gave me a vision of what he would do in my life. He showed me that he would take me to a new country. And in that country, I will be adopted as a son. And that family will provide all of my needs. And as a result of that family providing all of my needs, God had helped me establish new works for him in Canada. So there I am at 14 years old. I treasure that like Mary in my heart. I say, God, that's going to come to place. And when I was 18, one of the elders of the church began to prophesy in a communion service and said this, there's a young man in this house today that God is calling to a new country. He's going to leave this country supernaturally. I'll provide all of his needs. He will be taken in as a son by a family in that new country, and God will use him to establish new works. Just like I received from 11:30 until about 4 in the morning. See, sometimes when God speaks to you and you go to a deeper level with him, just write it down. Write it down, because prophecy is like a Twinkie. It has a long shelf life. Some prophecies don't take place instantly. Some prophecies take place 30 years later and 40 years later. But remember, when the Lord gives you a word, it will take you deeper. It will take you higher. It will take you to a place you've never been before. Come on, church. Somebody say amen. And I have discovered that there are places to discover in God. And occasionally we need to have those moments in our lives where we get desperate for a place we've never been before. Because I want to tell you this, it does exist. Just as we have exploration, as you see in the picture there on the slide, of the new world beyond our stratosphere, we've been getting pictures back from Hubble's telescope of Jupiter and Mars, and just recently in the news, right, the amazing pictures that we've seen. I still have a lot of feedback up here, maybe. Can you just turn it down a bit more? We've been getting all kinds of pictures of worlds. Have you seen that YouTube video of the size of the Earth? And then it goes to Saturn and Pluto, and it goes to all of these different wonderful stars. And we thought that the Earth was big. My goodness, when you line the Earth up in that YouTube video and see how big the biggest star is that Hubble's telescope has discovered so far, you can't imagine being there. But God says that instantly we're going to be transferred through those stratospheres, and we know that God knows each of those stars by name. How much more does he not know your name and my name? There are stars yet to be discovered. And there are places in God you and I are yet to discover. So you believe when we get interested in settling, then we settle in our walk with God. This is what I believe. We settle for the value of common. We settle on the next slide for the plains of the plain. We settle in our spirit for church that is common. But church, do you believe that we are living in uncommon days? That even today, as you and I are sitting here, there are nations that are exercising the power of cashless societies. Do you know that every animal in the city of Toronto and Vancouver and Calgary has a microchip under it when it's born? That when your dog or your cat gets lost, they can track that cat and that dog. They are experimenting with the 666 chip that will be put in your right hand or your forehead. You will not be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast under your skin. There will be no more cash in the world today. In London, Ontario, they have put chips in this under the skin of every dementia patient in a particular institution, so that if those patients walk out of that building, they will track them with a GPS where they are. And you tell me that the day of the Antichrist is not near? I tell you it's nearer than you and I think. We are living in the last days, and God wants us to passionately pursue Him. God wants us to live uncommon lives, not common lives. And so we need to come to that place where we say, Lord, I don't want our church to be common. I don't want our services to be common. I don't want my life to be common. I want to leave the place of common. Okay, so you need to say to the Lord, God, why don't you just tear me up in this service? God, why don't you just get me excited and drive me to my knees in brokenness and tears until I press through and get into your presence where I desperately need you, because it's there where all day long I want to wait before you and know that I'm not going to settle for the plain life, for the ordinary life. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And you know, in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says that Lot set out and he settled in the plains of Zoar. Do you know what the word Zoar, the name, means? The word actually means little. And I'm afraid that so often as Christians, we settle for little. Little bit of church. A little sermonette so we can rush back to our TV set to watch our wonderful sports. And God is saying to us, are you going to the land of Zoar spiritually, where you settle for the little prayers, little change, little worship, little sermons, little services, little giving, little exchange, little devotion, little dedication? And I, as a Christian in the 21st century, I am tired of little-mindedness in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to settle for the little on the next slide. Are you? I'm ready for God again to send a move of His Spirit, starting with me as a Christian. Not a pastor, but me as a Christian, because I'm in a place where I've never been before. As a man of God, I've been living by faith. I don't have a church that writes me a check. I have to pray my income in. I have to pray for clients. I have to pray for opportunities for God to give me places to preach and to teach. That's living by faith. When I left Devon Church, I was earning $75,000 plus benefits. I left that for zero 4 years ago, and God has never failed me. All of my needs and more has been supplied by God. To God be the glory. So God is saying to you today, you and I can come to that place in our walk where we can live by faith. And the thought hit me so strong this past week, church. As I prepare this sermon for you, I wanted to give you a fresh manner. That if you've never been in a place before, maybe you need to go deeper with God to a place where you've never been before. Because I need Him like I've never needed Him before. How about you? Are you facing this morning things that you've never faced before? I mean, some things that Ruth and I have had to trust Him for in our personal struggles, in our family struggles. Maybe you've never walked down that difficult journey and road you're walking down right now. You're walking down that road as a Christian, as a couple, as a family. And you're at a place that you've never been before, fighting for your family, fighting in faith, believing God to do greater things. How about you? Are you facing things this morning that you've never faced before? Something tells me there's more in God. Because when we have greater need, He has greater grace. Can somebody say amen? When we have greater need, He has greater grace for you and I. Come on, give Him praise. If you're yearning for more in your heart, in your life, you just don't want to camp where you are right now. There's more that God has available for you. And sometimes we just want to settle in a walk with God where we at. We want to settle for the ordinary. We want to settle for the place that feels comfortable. We just want to get settled in our walk with God. We want to get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, receive healings. But God is saying there's a deeper place in worship. There's a deeper place in intercession. There's a place in God that is beyond the norm. And I'm telling you this morning that there's a place with God that is stronger and higher and deeper than you've experienced up till now. And the reason I know that is because I've been there several times, and so have you. You know what it's like to have an all-night prayer meeting by yourself. You mamas know how to weep over your children's lives. You fathers know how to pray in finances when the oil industry is going kaput. You know that God has provided for you faithfully in the desert. But you say, Simon, but our services in our church really get to a place where we feel uncomfortable. We like everything comfortable. We like everything predictable. But God, help us to break out of that settled mindset this morning. Columbus, do you know what? In his latter life, listen to this amazing part of history. History records and shows us that Columbus would squint at the sun, and he would stare directly into the sun to know exactly where to go. And history records for us that through that squinting, looking for new horizons, his eyes began to grow weak and cataracts began to grow. Because as old sailors knew, they could navigate by the sun. And he would squint his eyes so much looking for a new horizon that history records he became blind for looking out for a new horizon. His eyes were affected by navigating by the sun, gazing that he did, peering for the unknown, peering and longing probably, saying to himself, where is it? Where is it? I know there's more lands to discover. And church, listen to what the Spirit is saying. What if we came to church like Columbus, like that, and we began squinting to become blind explorers of things that God has for you and I? He actually became blind by staring into the sun, peering directly into the light, looking for those new lands, that new horizons, day after day, looking for places, looking for something more. And you know, before discovering Santo Domingo, Christopher Columbus was totally blind. And yet his instincts were so sharp, history records, by his previous voyages back and forth from Spain to the islands, that he was able to follow the curve line only known by a few navigators. Those squinting eyes looking for the curve line. And the thought hit me this past week. Do I have eyes that are squinting, looking for the headwinds of the Holy Spirit to carry me where others say don't even exist in the Spirit? See, the church world is generally satisfied to go to church Sunday after Sunday, experience some beautiful songs, lament songs, and prophetic words. And we settle as if that is normal. But what about Peter? That Peter had such an abnormal walk with God. Listen to this. The Bible records in Acts that when Peter walked past crippled people, his shadow touched those crippled people and they got up and walked. People who were blind and were begging, Peter walked by them and his shadow, the Bible says, healed that blind person. The mute began to speak, the deaf began to hear, crippled rose and dance before the Lord. See, that's not settling for the ordinary. That's living the supernatural life naturally. And you and I have such a depth that is available for us through God and His Word, like we kiss the Word of God. How many of us love the Bible so much that when we open it up day after day, we kiss it? Ah, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the unfortunate part in Canada and the USA today is that there's a famine of the knowledge of the Word of God. As a counselor, when I talk to Christians about righteous living, they say to me, where's that in the Bible? Don't you know where it is? And unfortunately, some people only read the Bible on Sunday morning when it's on the screen. I challenge you today, if you want to go deep in God, develop a love for the Word of God. Develop a love that you would kiss the Word of God and you would treasure it in your heart and in your life. And there's a place that you and I know that doesn't exist. As you squint toward the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding, you and I every day, I'm telling you that we are called to better than average as followers of Jesus. Can you say amen? We are called to better than normal church. We are called to better than regular church and regular service. We settled into the regular. We settled into the average. And God wants you to see beyond the spiritual place that you and I are in today. Are your eyes growing tired for looking something new? Or do you just expect nothing new to happen anymore because you believe you've hit your highest place? Well, you in the wrong place this morning. Because I've come to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted by telling you today that there's another place in God. There's a place where you can unload your burdens. There's a place where you can find joy. There's a place where you can pray and your spirit will be released and you will leave this place saying, I'm free! I'm free from the shackles and the burdens of life. Lord, give us that place of passion where we will peer into your kingdom and say, I want more of you. I'm desperate for you. I'm hungry for you. More of you, Lord. Empty and dry. Fill my cup, Lord, today to overflowing. Can I hear a hearty amen? Amen. So are we a church that is peering for more? Or are we satisfied? Has God brought us to this place just to exist now and be satisfied? Or should we be spiritually out there on the bow of the gospel ship, peering with eyes that have been enlightened by the anointing with the vision of the Holy Spirit, seeing the harvest. I love Joseph's spirit. Last week I met a South African here who told me he plays the organ really well. And he works with Joseph. Today Joseph's got two more friends here today. What if we would have that same passion for inviting people? This place would be filled by next Sunday. And revival would break up. Because we have a passion for souls. And I say today that you and I can see a rich harvest around us, seeking souls around us, saying, God, thank you for those you have put in my presence to be a witness and a testimony for your kingdom. Last night at 11:30, three engineering students in my home who come from Waterloo University, University of Calgary, and University of Alberta, from different nations. One's a Lebanese, one's an Indian, and the other is a beautiful Scottish boy from Westlock, Alberta. Second year, third year, fourth year engineering students. So I made a fire party, and I prepared some biryani and lamb curry with naan bread. My fingers still smell like garlic and curry. And we sat there, 11:30, around the fire, and we were eating biryani with our hands, and I showed them, hey, this is the way we South Africans eat. We don't use knives and forks. God made fingers before man made forks. And they were eating away, scooping with our thumb the food up into our mouth, and I tell them that I love Jesus. And I say to the one boy, what do you think about Jesus? He says, well, I'm an atheist. He's Indian, but he's an atheist. He says, historically, you can't prove that Jesus existed. I said, really? Do you know that there are 700 volumes historically that proves that Jesus existed on the earth? And there's only 3 volumes that proves that Julius Caesar existed. Do you believe Julius Caesar lived on earth? Well, yeah, I believe historically Julius Caesar reigned. Well, if there's 700 confirmed historical documents that Jesus, the Son of God, lived, how can you not believe in him? He says, can we change the subject? But God has brought these future engineers, into my home. They work at the Cole Research Center in a co-op program. Some of them 4 months, some of them 8 months, some of them a year. And I get to witness to them. Every day I'm in my house, I bring the mission field to me. See, that's living not for the ordinary, but for souls to be saved. They're going to go back to India one day. They're going to go back to Lebanon one day. They're going to go back to Dubai. And they'll be born again before they leave my home. That's my vision. That's my cry. That every one of them will come to know an extraordinary love of God. And so I want to encourage you in closing today that your natural eyes will never get you where your vision from the Holy Spirit will get you. You see, opportunity is when he enlightens your vision. You have to lose yourself to find yourself, Jesus taught us. I want you to take the spiritual context of this for a moment. Lose yourself and realize that you've got this moment to own, to bring glory to God. We have to have so much of God that we want in our hearts, that we can be as powerful in God as we want to be. We need to lose ourselves so that we can find ourselves, so that we can own this moment, for the church should be having its greatest hour now. I need somebody to stir up in their soul today the fire of the Holy Ghost, that you will peer out to new horizons and you will say, Lord, I want more of you. Turn to someone and say this as it is on the top of that screen. Lose yourself. Come on, turn to someone and say, lose yourself. We've seen you and we're not impressed. Lose yourself. Take on Jesus. Reflect his glory. Reflect his love. Reflect his compassion for souls. And when you get out there and you lose yourself, you'll make lamb curry and biryani at 10:30 at night. And you'll sit around till 1 o'clock as I did on my deck. And I had heartburn at 3:30 like crazy. Oh, my goodness. But the Tums helped it, right? And I woke up, and Scott was there having breakfast. And Scott from Westlock, I saw him for the first time, bowed his head, and I bowed my head to pray over my breakfast. 3.5 months, never saw him bow his head. This morning I saw him bow his head and pray. Amen. See? It takes a little biryani. It takes a little lamb curry to get into the hearts of hungry engineering students, to love on them and to cook for them. And God wants you to know that you must not settle. You need to go to places where you've never gone before, for we have not passed this way before. How many of you believe that there's more that God has available? Yes. That God is a God of vastness. That we have not discovered the mighty, great, powerful things that he wants to reveal to his people. And he said in Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 through 17, that if you carry the Ark of the Covenant out to the places I wanted to go, that you as leaders, that you as priests, you need to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and wherever you go, souls will be touched and lives will be transformed. And you will go, and as you carry the Ark of the Covenant, you will see miracles go before you. And Joshua chapter 3, verse 5 declares this: sanctify yourselves, clean up your act, for tomorrow, this time, we are going where we have never gone before. The Lord will do wonders among you. Turn to someone and say, your tomorrow, come on, turn to someone, say this, your tomorrow can be better than your today. Because there's a place that you've never gone before, just waiting for you. The Bible says this morning in closing, set out. I mean, that's blind exploring. That's like walking the plank in old times off the ship. That's setting your foot from solid ground on the bank of the river into water. And the Bible says that the river started swelling up at this time in Joshua's context here. I mean, that's dangerous to step into a fast rushing river. But as they stepped out, the waters parted. I was reading the commentary, and the commentary said this. When Joshua crossed the river with the priests, listen to this. Every step they took, the water parted up in walls. Every step they took. Not like the Red Sea, it all went open, as in Moses' situation, but in Joshua's situation, every time they stepped, the water parted and opened. And as they stepped, it opened. And the walls of water formed as they took steps across the Jordan. God wants to take you to places where miracles occur because of your obedience in mind. That when we step out in obedience, God provides. When we step out in faith, God shows us his goodness. Our church in Devon was offered to buy the Alberta Liquor Store, the most beautiful brick building downtown. And as a little church of 75, that building was built for $490,000, three lots, house lots, 37 parking stalls, and the government listed it for $287,000. It was worth $500,000, and they listed it when they sold all the liquor stores several years ago in Alberta. We made them an offer, and we offered them $100,000. They laughed at us, but they kept our check. Steve Smith kept my check for 7 months. He was the minister overseeing all the buildings that were being sold. And so we called him and said, what's happening? You haven't sent the check back and you haven't told us about the building. He said, well, what can you offer us? I said, we offered you $100,000. But by that time, we had raised another $70,000. So he said, look, I'll go back to my council and I'll come back to you. But I'll tell you what you're offering us is hilarious. It's crazy. So 2 weeks by, and Mrs. Smith, the MLA, comes back to us and he says, well, we've discussed it. You've offered us $100,000. It's listed for $235,000, at least $279,000. And I want you to know that the best offer we can make you is $190,000. So we got a building that was $500,000. For $190,000 plus GST, and we got half the GST back. And God gave us a miracle. That summer, we raised all the money to buy a former liquor store that was filled with the wrong spirit and bring the right spirit in it and establish the Church of the New Wine. It happened because we took a step of obedience, and here was our step of obedience. God said to Ruth and I, give everything you have in your RRSPs to buy the building. And you will see the miracle come by. That as you step out in obedience, I will have others obey. We didn't tell anybody what we gave. Only the treasurer knew. But we gave everything that we had in RSP. Saved up for 17 years RSP. And gave it. We paid the penalty for cashing it out. But you know what? In 2 years, God multiplied what we gave. 200%. You tell me I can't afford to tithe. Step up in obedience and watch God have. Step up in obedience and see him provide all that you need. You need healing today? Step up and believe for the elders to anoint you with oil. And God will give you a miracle. There's a place in God that you and I can go where we can set out, take steps of obedience and say, Lord, like Joshua of old, I'm not settling for the ordinary. I want to go places where I haven't gone before. You see, what I'm trying to say to you this morning in this simple little message is that there's nothing wrong with settling and enjoying the blessing of God as long as you continue to have in your spirit a spirit of exploration. a blind exploring spirit that says, wherever you lead me, I will step out and move in that direction. And in that blind faith, if I hear your voice, I simply will obey. And though I know not where I will end up, worship team, will you come back now? I know that by faith, as I step out, I'll go to places I've never gone before in God. That's what I love about following God. He doesn't want it to get boring. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And the one thing I've come to understand, even through this message, is this, that if you will begin to long for the immensity of the vastness of our great God, who the Bible talks about, if you're willing to leave the comforts of settlement, of a new level of intimacy, and discover a place with God where you've never been before, today you can leave this place different. You can go spiritually to places you've never gone before, where revival can break out in your heart and you can know the intimacy and the closeness of God that you've never known before. There's room at the cross for you. And in the core of your being, say like one man said, that if you want to build a ship, don't gather people together to collect wood. Teach them to long for endless immensity of the sea, and then build the ship. And I'm saying to you today, it's time to long for more. You won't get anything more from God until you hunger and long and reach. And that you would say in your spirit, I am dissatisfied where I'm at right now. I'm preaching to everybody in the house today. I'm preaching to myself. And here's what we're going to do in closing. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we stand, we're going to sing four little songs. They are prayers. And that as you sing these songs, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to take you deeper. Take you to a higher place in here. Sounds like an oxymoron. Do we go deeper, Pastor Simon? Do we go higher? Well, there's both. He wants you to reach out and touch him as he passes by. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to, like Joshua, step out. Step out to the front. Come join me at the altar and say, Lord, I don't want to settle for where I'm at spiritually. I want more of you. So come and let's sing it together.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your.
Come on now, everyone, stand at the salt.
He is back. Sing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out. More of you.
Sing it from your heart.
More.
surrender. It's a universal sign of surrender. Say, Lord, today, I'm not settling for where I'm at. I'm going for more of you. I'm pressing in. I'm squinting, seeking the direction of the Holy Ghost for my life. To be more passionate, to be more compassionate, and to give my life devoted to you day by day, every day, until the trumpet sounds. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your favor. Surrounded by your mercy. And in your presence. That's where I always want to be. Trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what church is all about, to introduce you to Jesus. To know that he can live inside of you. That like Christopher Columbus, you can go places you've never been before with God. Is there anyone here today, as I scan from my left to your right, you'd lift your hand and you'd say, Simon, will you pray for me today? I want to know this Jesus. The one who loved me, that you took communion about. I want to know him personally. Is that you today? Anyone in the house today? You'd say, I'm going to lift my hand and say, boldly, I want to pursue God. Anyone in the house today? Father, thank you today. We do not elongate the call. But your Spirit has drawn us as your church to a place of deeper, stronger, higher heights. We don't want to settle. We want to go places where we've never gone before. And we can say, like the patriarch of old, we have never been this way before. And may we, like Lord Abram, set out to a land where you will prosper us and bless us so that we can bring others to Jesus. I pray today for all of my students in my home. I pray for Mustafa. I pray for Mohit. I pray for Scott. I pray for Carol. I pray that every one of them, even Lorna, would come to know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior before they leave our home. And now by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your portion this day. For unto him was able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the Father, to the only wise God be glory and majesty and power and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, the Lord bless you as you go. Continue to worship him and give your very best to Jesus. Thanks for being in God's house today. Brother Joseph, the floor is yours.